It is so good to be here. All the folks from Millsite send their love and prayers. We've thought of you often over the last several months, and I was telling someone this is the first trip we've been out of West Virginia since probably Christmas, and we was looking forward to it. Not saw my family or my grandkids in that length of time, but we're supposed to go next month. My youngest daughter's getting married, and we're real excited about that. The Lord's good to us. He's gracious. We are here today by God's grace and His help. That's what we need. Unless the Lord helps me, it's just empty words. And unless the Lord helps you to hear and to understand, it's just words. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. I've just entitled the message, Help. So if you would turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a help that is near. Therefore, because He's a very present help in trouble, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease and to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and he cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Now watch verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a psalm. What a Savior. He's with us, the God of Jacob. As I thought about this word, help, I usually try to say, well, where is it used in other scriptures? And I thought this was ironic. The first time that it's used is in the book of Genesis. When God made Adam of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. And he said, I'm going to make him a help meet for him. You said, did Adam need help? Well, he was perfect in and of himself, but he needed a helpmeet, or the Lord wouldn't have gave him a helpmeet. He couldn't talk to the animals. Maybe he did, it doesn't matter, but he had no one that he could sit down and share things with. Then in chapter 2, verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. God provided just exactly who he needed. He could sit down and talk. They could share. You imagine sharing all the beauty of that garden. They could share it with each other. They could sit down and talk about the things of God. But then I thought about when Adam sinned. Now he's in trouble. Now he's in big trouble, and he needs help, and Eve can't help him. I've thought many times, I wonder who come up with the idea. They may have come up with it together. How are we going to undo what we just done? We can sew fig leaves together, and maybe that'll help. Maybe that'll help our conscience that's condemning us. But it wasn't help. God came and provided a sacrifice. God provided the atonement. You know, you'll see we're all in trouble. We may not realize that man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. But it's, where does a man run when he's in trouble? Where does he run for help? Like I said, where did Adam run? He didn't go running to God. He went running to try to hide himself. As I thought about this, I thought about my niece. This was several years ago. I probably hadn't saw her in 6 or 7 years. I kind of knew pretty close to where she lived. She lived on a place called Oak Island, which was off the coast of North Carolina, down below Wilmington. And you know, me and Sandy were sitting there at the table one Saturday evening. Or Saturday morning, and she calls. You know why she called? She needed help. She would have never called me if she hadn't needed help. And she said, Uncle Mike, she said, I'm in trouble. She said, would you come get me? And we went and we picked her up, and I said, Mandy, I said, you won't be back to this place. But what I'm saying is, why did she call? She needed help. And she looked, and where did she turn to? She'd probably turn to everybody else. None of her friends would help her. None of her friends could help her. But you know, Lord brings people to the place they're in trouble. And they need help, but where did they run to? The scripture says, woe unto the man that goes down to Egypt for help. That's a picture of man running to the things of the world. He will run to a profession. He runs to all these things. He's looking for some help. You know why? He's in trouble. Some examples. What happened when there was a famine? Abraham's in trouble. You know where he went? He went to Egypt. Doesn't that picture us? We still have that old nature. We think the world can help us. And that's what he did, and we know the results of it. By nature, we are prone to look to the arm of the flesh for help. The flesh will always fail, and the world will always fail. But our Lord is just a cry away. He's a very present help in time of need. Oh, what? Lord, don't ever let us get past the point where we see our need of help. Of help. It says in Psalms 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee. Psalms 108, verse 12, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of men. Give us help from trouble. As I thought about this, can you imagine when our Lord walked upon this earth, when he robed himself in human flesh? He knows what it is. He knew what it was to be in trouble. And he knew what it was to be in need. Turn with me. I want you to see this. Terms in Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. You know, this is such a picture of our Lord as he hung there on the cross when he was made sin for his people. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And notice the next statement, why art thou so far from helping me? From the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And then the night season, and I'm not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee, and they were not confounded. But I'm a worm, and no man, the reproach of men and despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Now, would you think about this for a second? When he was born into this world like any other child, now he's the Son of God, but he needed the breast of his mother or he would have died. The Son of God. He looked to, Joseph and Mary, and God used them to provide for him when he was a child. And that's what he's saying here. Now, made me hope when I was upon my brother's breast, my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my belly. Now watch this. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. And there is none to help. None to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones that they look and stare at me. They part my garment among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. Be not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. So three times in that Psalms, he made reference to nobody would help him. And he looked to the Father for grace and strength. He said, hasten to help me. So what am I saying? He knows what you need. He knows what it is to be. He's able to be felt with the feelings of our infirmities. Does he know? Oh, yes. Does he know what it is to cry out for help and need? Yes. As a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I may not know what you need, but he does. He's a very present help in time of need. In Isaiah 63, verse 1, listen. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have treaded the winepress alone, and the people there were none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of the redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, now this is, if you want to go, to me it's a paradox. He needed help, but then on the other hand, he needed no help. Because he brought salvation of his own arm. No one helped him. Because he said, I looked and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. No one could help him. He knows what it is to be left alone, to need help. And there were, now listen, there was no eye to pity him. Psalm 69:20, reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity. Will anybody show pity? And my fury. I looked for some to help, and there was none. And for comforters, and I found none. No one would help this man as he hangs upon this cross. None. Someone said, listen. No one to say to him a kind word or drop a sympathetic tear. A sick man needs comforters. A persecuted man needs sympathy. But our blessed surety found neither on that dark and dreadful night when the powers of darkness had their hour. As God left him alone. You know why? That he would not forsake you. in your time of need. Right when he needed help, they were all gone away. All the disciples forsook our Lord and fled. Every one of them. Someone said, now listen to this. Backward and forward, thrice, three times he ran, as if he sought some help from man, or wished at least they would console. 'Twas all they could, his tortured soul. Whatever he sought, for there was none. Our captain fought the field alone. Soon as the chief to the battlefield led, that moment every soldier fled. You picture going into the battle and they're all there. They all say, Lord, we won't forsake you. We won't leave you. And they meant it. And now they all flee. You imagine walking in on the battlefield and you look and you're the only one there. No one to help. This is illustrated in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 9 and 10. You remember David's mighty men? Mighty men. There was one, his name was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahorathite, one of the three mighty men of David. He defiled the Philistines and when they were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. What happened is this man takes on the battlefield with the Philistines and everybody else leaves him. But what did he do? He arose, our Lord, and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clave to the sword. That's the same word when Adam clave unto his wife. It's like his hand was welded to that sword, and he would not lay it down. His own arm brought salvation. Everybody forsook him. His hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Who did? That man, Eleazar. When the battle's over, there's one man standing. Eleazar. When the battle was over, there's one standing who had no help. His own arm brought salvation. And his arm is the only one that can give salvation. We must be brought to the place, now listen, that we see we need help. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalms 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Take no tarrying, O my God. Isaiah 41, 17. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and her tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, won't forsake them. Listen, Psalms 107. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contended the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. None to help. You see a sinner, I can't help them. You can't help them. I can point them to Christ, and I can say, come and sit and listen, but I can't help them. He said, can nobody help me? You can't help me. But he can. I looked and there was none to help. There was none to help. When there's none to help, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He caused the trouble. He sent the trouble to bring them to the place. You go, why am I in so much trouble? There's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. Then they cried out to him. Then they cried out. And he heard them. And he saved them out of their distresses. Another example. Remember the woman of Cana of Galilee who came to our Lord? You know, she has a need. She needs help. No one can help her daughter. And so we see that many times in the scripture. Sometimes Lord will use people's children to bring them, and they see they can't help. I can't help my children. And she comes because she needs help for her daughter. And you know, and he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But she said, that's true, Lord, but I'm your dog. And the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then she came to him and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. But he answered, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, true, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that same hour. Then there was another man. Remember when our Lord come down off the Mount of Transfiguration? And this man brought his son to the disciples to cast this demon out of this man. And the disciples couldn't help him. And I can see the religious men. They're standing and saying, there's nothing to this. There's nothing to this. Then Christ came. Christ came. And listen, in Mark chapter 9, verse 20, they brought him, the son, when he saw him, and straightway the spirit teared this young man. He fell on the ground wallowing. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? He said, of a child. And oftentimes it's cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Now watch this. This man said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. He put the if on the wrong place. It's not if he can do something. He said, if you can, the one that won the battle alone, if you can, he's confused. This is us. If you can, help us. Help us. But Jesus said, he put the if in the right place, if you can believe. It's not if I can help. The problem is if you can believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Now watch this. Help mine unbelief. Is that not us? Lord, help. I want to believe. Really believe. I don't want to be some pretending. I want to believe. Believe him. Do you believe him this morning? Do you believe he's able to do for you far more than you could ever ask or think? If you believe him in what you'll do, you'll cry out to him. That woman with the Canaanite, her daughter, she could. There's nowhere else to go. This man brought his son. And when he left, he helped his son. If you have any faith, God gave it to you. And if God gives you faith, you see your need of help. And you see that you're totally always in trouble. In trouble. If he leaves us alone, we're in a mess. If he don't help us, we're in a mess. If he don't help you understand that book, it's just a dry book. If he don't comfort your heart, it's no one else can. But he's able. He knows what you need. And he knows just exactly how to help. Do you ever think about that we need each other? Since this virus, this is... You know, we didn't even meet. We met. We did it audio for probably a couple of months. We've only been back meeting since the end of May. And you know, there's no substitute for what we have right here. I know this is, I think someone said, the first year in several years you've not had a Bible conference. And you know, I wonder how many times we took those things for granted. I don't know if one conference all year. You know, we just not able to have them. He knows what we need. Oh, that we would cry out to him for help, because we need each other. Listen, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. He's talking about walking in the woods, falling. Could you imagine if nobody was to help you? Out there all alone, help you get up. Help you get up. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. I think it was Peter, James, and Peter was in his boat and they were fishing. And they beckoned to their partners and were in the other ship. And you know what they said? Would you come help us? We've got such a net full of fish. Would you come and help us? And they came, and both the ships were filled, and they began to sink. Another one I thought about is sometimes, you know, we can become upset when it seems like we have no help. You remember Mary and Martha? Mary is sitting at the feet of our Lord. You know why she's sitting there? She needs help. And the only one that can help her, she's hungry, so she sits at his feet. Martha's in the kitchen fixing dinner. And we don't know how many were there. Well, they would have probably been our Lord and all his disciples. They may have been a few more. Ladies, you know what that is to have to fix that dinner? And you can imagine she's in here cooking. She goes, where's Mary at? Well, what's she doing? Why won't she come in here and help me? And she actually walks in there and she says, Lord, do you not care that I have to work alone in the kitchen? Tell her to come help me. Isn't that us? You know, it would have been a big help what Martha was doing. Somebody had to fix them some dinner. Somebody had to fix some lunch. What a help. It's nice to, you know, you're talking about when we used to come here for the conferences. Somebody did a lot of work so we could go and sit down and partake of that meal. We needed something to eat and somebody worked. But she said, Lord, do you not care? Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. He says, Martha, Martha. You're so cumbered about many things. Why are you so tore up? He said, she's chosen that good part. But see, what we should have done like Martha, she should have said, well, I'm thankful I can do anything. I'm thankful I can be a little help. You know what Paul said? Let me find my scripture. In Philippians 4:3, he said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You mean them? They helped Paul? Yes, they did. Well, I read one time, I think it's in the book of Luke, where the women ministered unto his needs. I can see our Lord. Don't you know he enjoyed going to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house? He went many times. He went many times. You remember Paul in the book of Acts, he had a desire to go to Asia. The Lord said, you're not going to Asia right now. He said the Holy Spirit forbid him. I think it says twice the Holy Spirit forbid him. But it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, in a vision there appeared unto Paul in the night, there stood a man over in Macedonia. And he prayed, saying, you know what he said? Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly endeavoring that the Lord had called him to preach the gospel unto them. And you know who was there? Lydia. Would you come over and help us? How did he help them? He went and preached the gospel to them. And God raised up that church, saved a Philippian jailer. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. We need the Lord's help. Don't forget it. If you take anything from the message, remember this. We need the Lord's help. Here's what Paul said in Acts chapter 26. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day. Some of you have I've seen for a long time. I was trying to remember the other day. I think the first time I came here was in the mid-90s. That's almost 25 years ago. Why are we still here? Having therefore obtained help of God, we continue to this day. To this day. Let me give you a few more scripture and we'll be closed. Hebrews 4:16, this is most probably every one of you could quote this verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Fear not, I am with thee, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee, I'll help thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13, for I am the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. You imagine, Lord, just like he takes you by the hand, he said, shall be fear not. I'll help thee. Then he says in verse 14, so three times, I know in those few verses, he's not just repeating himself. There's a reason. Fear not. Who's he talking to? Thou worm Jacob. What did we read in Psalms 22? What did he say? I am a worm and no man. Fear not. Who, you worm, you maggot, Jacob, you men of Israel, I'll help thee, saith the Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Let me give you one more. You remember the children of Israel in the first part of the book of 1 Samuel, where they had been so wrapped up in religion, when they were getting ready to fight the Philistines, they called for the Ark of the Covenant. It had just become some religious trinket. That's all it was. Well, if we've got the Ark, well, then the Lord's on our side and he's bound to help us. Well, they go call for the Ark, and what happens? Eli dies. Eli's two sons die. The Philistines take the Ark, and Eli's daughter-in-law is having a child, and she dies having the child and names it Ichabod. The glory's departed. And for 20 years, nobody had went and worshiped God. No one had went after the ark. We know that they sent it back, but it stayed in a man's house for 20 years. But now in 1 Samuel 7, God brings Israel back to the very same piece of property where they lost that battle 20 years earlier. Can you imagine what you would think? Oh, here we go again. You know what they realized? They needed help. It was different this time. Now they begin to seek the Lord. Now they begin to cry out to God. And God rained thunder down. God spoke. And Israel never fired a weapon. They're not coming out there with spears or swords. God drove the Philistines away. And you know what Samuel did? Now listen to this. On the very piece of property where they'd been defeated, some had maybe survived from that battle until now, and they remember it. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped. Why did they win the battle?
The Lord helped them. And they knew it.
You know that word, hitherto, you know what that means? It means to look backward and forward. We look, God give us a memory. We can look back through those things and I say, you know what? There was the Lord's hand. There the Lord helped me. And listen, even in them losing the battle, the Lord helped them. As that we were coming up, we were reading, Sandy was reading a message from Spurgeon on this very thing on hitherto. And Spurgeon talked about when they were in Surrey, it was a tabernacle or something where they were meeting. And I don't know how many people were in that large building. Somebody cried fire. And they were people trampled to death. Spurgeon said it always bothered him. He was always afraid somebody was going to do that again. And he said, you know what? As he looked back, hitherto, he said that was one of the greatest blessings they ever had. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, we just think, well, what about the good things? Well, what about the bad things? What about the battles we lost? When we lose the battle, what do we learn? We learn we're nothing. You think you can handle it? God say, okay, you go right ahead. And you know what? You will find out that you need him. Hitherto have I come. Hitherto the Lord's helped me. Did the Lord help them through it? Yeah, he did. The Lord teaches his children. Those that he loves, he rebukes and chastens. He said, it's to look backward and forward and see the future in the past. He has helped us, and therefore he will help us. Is he stopped helping us? No. Because he knows what it's like to need help. Said, Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to understand? Would you help me to have faith? Would you help me to trust you? He helps us by griefs and losses, by disappointments and defeats. Whatever brings us closer to him is helpful beyond all aids. I think it's Newton that wrote that song. You know, he said, I ask the Lord that I may grow in faith and love and those things. Was it Newton? I can't remember, but then he said, Lord, would you pursue this worm to death? He said, he turned loose the angry forces of hell. And he said, Lord, this is not what I asked for. But then the Lord said, yeah, that's what you asked for. You just didn't realize it. He said, Lord, I'd love to sense the Lord's presence. Him to draw me near to him. He let trouble come. So we realize that we need him. Newton did say, each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Do you need him? Cry out for help.